In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make God's paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God."
Holy
The word of the
wisdom,
Lord.
holy word.
Thanks
Thanks
be to
be
God.
to God. Okay, beloved, here's our first hint. The writer of Luke is our first great church historian. What are all these names and places about? Why are these here? We're beginning Advent, and here we have this litany. Why is this roll call necessary? This morning we learn about the time and political circumstances of John the Baptist's call. John, the rugged one out there outside the walls of the city, wearing camel skin hair, eating bugs and honey. Some of you may have even grown up singing a song about that. His manner, reminiscent of the prophets of old, Elijah. John's ministry of preaching and baptizing marks the real beginning of the period of Jesus's ministry. So we're here at the beginning of the church year, the second week of our year. And as we will go the whole calendar wheel of the year, why? Why is all this here? John is bellowing that someone more powerful than he will be coming. And hold on to your hats, stick close, because next week, he's going to be screaming at us as the brood of vipers. So there's a lot to listen into John in terms of like what we need to do to repent of the ways that aren't working, to be able to be ready and be prepared to open the way for newness. This is not going to be simple. We will need to make some changes. And so the repentance that is required of God's people is part of this movement into that new creation. So hopefully today this will help to know that this history lesson here is context, because it's giving all the cues of what the political power was at the time. This is not just fluff, a show off. This is not filler. This is our historical marker of what the scene was as Jesus began his ministry. And it really shows the juxtaposition of what was occurring and this kind of official court, and how brave it was to be proposing that anything different than this colonial reign was going on. And so we hear this roll call of the important, the governors and the kings and even the high priest. But look, where is God going to show up outside of all that? Out in the wilderness, and by this unknown rugged prophet. So, we mentioned that a Holden prayer is coming, and we think about that song that comes out of Mary, the Magnificat, this is starting to be underway, that God will be bringing down those powerful from their thrones and lifting up the lowly. And in all ages, that God's work happens among the dispossessed. So when we gather on Wednesday and sing, we're thinking about what this, like, just how unwieldy it was that this message that God would appear outside of the city in the wilderness. And we start to deepen our focus on that last line that Dan read in verse 6, where Isaiah promises that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And that is kind of what we've been turning over all week since we read it at Lectio Divina. What does that mean? All flesh would see the salvation of God. And among us, with so many healing concerns and so many medical challenges among us, what does that mean that all flesh might see the salvation of God, that we might be able to voice this kind of hope? And our green team on Wednesday gathering, strategizing how to best leverage our voices and resources and actions so that all might see the salvation of God. We've been spreading the word this week too. Did you see in your newsletter that we are asking each one of you, if you know of someone anywhere that might be a Justice Leadership Program Jubilee candidate, that they could send in an application, because Eliza and Rich have been preparing the way for an online course that runs from January to June. And you have seen some of its alums in your midst, whether that's Jim or Barb and on and on. So please tell of this. Think of one person that you might want to share that news with and invite them to apply. Now is the time. Advent is part of preparing the way, keeping awake, keeping watch, getting ready. I've often chuckled along. I follow contemporary writer Gretchen Rubin, who used to be a Supreme Court clerk and became an author. And she talks about sort of doing things to be ready for when times are harder. And I often think, that is just so strange that we should live our lives getting ready for tragedy to hit. I mean, what is she talking about? Well, she talks about the habits that make people able to live happier lives. And she works within this little margin saying, you know, some people go for these big fixes, but most people, what if you have sort of a range from your constitution that you can work with to maximize your living to be at the top of your range? So she says, what if, you know, what if your genetics are that on a scale of 1 to 10, you kind of exist in the range of 4 to 7. So what can you do to be at your 7 end of the range to have energy and engage life and in faith, we say, so that we can be of service to the wider work of God? And she says, you know, one of those ways, figure out your tendency. And of course, she has a 4-part, you know, there's 4 types of people that have a tendency to live in certain ways. So if you'd like to scratch down a note now, we're going to do a little keystone comparison. You can look up a 3-minute quiz and do it to figure out what your tendency is. And you will either be an obliger, a questioner, an upholder, or a rebel. So do your homework and we'll compare notes. One of her ideas is that the sort of, this is strange against the backdrop of consumerism this time of year, but she says, why don't you work your habits so you are in your routines automatically now, so that when a big surprise happens, you can just lean into them. And so, of course, in our church here, we think all the time, every day, in and out of those at Keystone who invested so wisely, those who stewarded resources before us so we can do what we're doing, those way before our time, and that we strive to honor with every decision we make. And even just something like our incredible moderator, Keystone, who is making sure that since our furnace has gone on the fritz, that we are thinking about down the road and not just getting it quickly fixed, but we are making a climate wise choice. Things like that. We will be doing what we can. Advent brings us deeply into the ideas around preparing the way. And we're not talking about preparing to be more busy and scurrying through this stressful season time. We're talking about those ways that we can pause like this, taking time to worship and get your week started. So, with this story today, what's so powerful to me is this next part that then unfolds. Did you see how, after the litany of rulers, emperors, and high priests, we get to visit with the prophet of old, Isaiah, our mighty ancestor in the faith? This verse 4 is our next part. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make God's path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. We are being shown that God has shown up before in surprising places, in unexpected ways, and through unexpected vessels and people and prophets. God showed up to the Israelites when they were in their wilderness journey. We are not going to be left in desolate times. We are not on a totally uncharted journey. Our foregoers before us have been in tough times. And when these dank, barely light days of Seattle, if you're out here or from where you are, just make you want to pull that cover further over your head, let's deepen, let's tap in here, beloved. This is where we begin to get into this incredible sort of start of Advent, that we are preparing room, cracking the hinges of our hearts for this story that to a very young mother, a child would be born into a cow shed, a child with nothing. And how is this going to happen amidst the impoverishment? How is this new ministry, new life, new promise and hope gonna surge from that? We are preparing our hearts in these weeks. We're not just scurrying and busy. We are making room for the Prince of Peace. One of the ways that we do this is this camel-haired wild guy out in the wilderness is telling us that God, Emmanuel, will come and be with us, that we will not be left in the wilderness, and we will be surprised by the way that God shows up. And here, the best, the last verse 6, that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Jesus is not about to set up base camp out there in the sticks and ward off wild animals. Jesus is not going to hunker down and stay out there. Jesus does not say, thanks, John, for clearing the way. And thank you, God, for giving me those gates. We're going to put up a barrier. God is at work in the craggy wilderness. And Jesus says, okay, back into town, let's go. Jesus is saying, we will go together, and the more of us, the better. And that the bigger our band, the better. And that we are the hands of God. We are not able to just sit back and receive a divine gift of all flesh seeing salvation. Our mission is just getting started. And so as we wonder how this all fits together with camel's hair and honey and wilderness and this second Sunday of Advent, we're looking past Emperor Tiberius. Why do we care about Pontius Pilate? What does Herod, ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip have to do? And why do we care how long Caiaphas reigned? It's because it's showing us just how world-changing it is going to be, that a different way is coming forth. And so as we hold hope and we push back against those urges to tunnel in and under with every challenge we are bearing, we know that we are a part of God ensuring that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And here's what I just love with these images from Isaiah. It's not about flattening hills, lifting up valleys, so this can all be leveled straight. Is this not about removing parts so that all of that complexity can be opened, but it is not about the result of what that road looks like? I like Wesley Abrams says, the operative characteristic is not the flattening. It is the prophet's call to action of the making, the opening, the learning to carve the way. And it's not a fixed image of the result of that, but this is our call to be part of lifting those valleys. And when we come to those times where we are out there in the wilderness, for us to know that we are part of community in an incredibly long line that is at work to change this landscape, that we are with one that we are going to be learning about the next few weeks, Emmanuel, with us, and that we will be together in the work to see that all salvation shall see God. And so for this Advent season, our wish, our prayer is that we might ready ourselves for God to show up in unexpected places, through unexpected folks at unexpected times. Amen.